This is an ABC podcast.
Can you be more specific? On ABC Radio Australia.
Kia ora and welcome everyone. My name is Kennedy Cherrington and welcome to Can You Be More Pacific? I'm joined by my fellow host, Dean Halatau. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Kennedy. Whakala whalahea to everyone out there. Thanks for listening. We've got plenty coming up in the next hour. We'll take a look back at the weekend in sport. We've got an interview with Anthony Cherrington. We've got a new question for you. Can ask that. But first, before we get through all that, Kennedy, how's your week been?
Oh, my week's been back-to-back with events. Basically, the last week I've just been, bang, this event. So quite busy. Haven't had much sleep, but I went to the Gold Coast on the weekend, so it was a bit of fun time. Not just a party. Nah, of course not. But my sister was playing there, so in the Nationals for under-19s, like the little rugby league comp they have there for the States. So really proud older sister vibe there. Really proud of her. So how was your week?
Week's been good, just normal work. Origin was last week, so that was big. Coming down off the back of that was a little bit like, Origin's over, and then you get back into normal rugby league. But, can't complain at all. We've got lots of big stories. The first one that we want to touch on, the Socceroos were attempting to qualify for the World Cup, and Andrew Redmayne, their goalie, they went to a shootout, and Andrew Redmayne is not their first choice goalie. He steps up to save a goal that gets him into the World Cup, the Socceroos. But the way in which he did it was pretty funny.
Yeah, I don't know much about soccer, but but hearing this goal and seeing it all over the media, I think it's really exciting, and I'm really excited for Socceroos to progress to the World Cup, and it's going to be quite hot in Qatar where it's held.
Yeah, it is going to be quite hot. And this is what Andrew Redmayne did. Like, so he's dancing in the goal, like, to try and distract the guy taking the kick. And he's been dubbed, like, the Grey Wiggle because of the way that he was dancing. So I thought it was pretty cheeky from him. But also, he went into the other goalkeeper from another team. He's gone in and found his water bottle, had tips on how to approach the Socceroos as they attempted their penalty kick. So, like, he had, like a cheat sheet on his drink bottle.
Yeah.
So Redmayne's just thrown it in the crowd at the back to try and get rid of his tips. So I thought that was pretty cheeky from him as well.
Yeah, that's one way to win it. I'd definitely, if I seen a cheat sheet like on someone's strapping or boot, I'd be like trying to
get rid of it.
ASAP.
Muck it up. Yeah, for sure. Fine. Now, Justice Hooney, he had a fight last night against Joe Goodall, and it was a pretty impressive performance from Justice. He's continuing to show what a class boxer he is, and it was a pretty dominant victory in the end for him.
Yeah, Justice and I actually share the same manager, so I was actually talking to our manager last night, and yeah, apparently he was world class, was really dominant, and came away with the points in his favour, so really proud of him.
Yeah, he's lining up some pretty big opponents. I think he's looking to go abroad, taking it on someone like Anthony Joshua is on his radar. So he wants to become, a dominant heavyweight boxer in the international stage, and he's sort of heading in that direction. So well done, Justice. Now, Super Rugby was in semi-finals on the weekend, and there was only one Australian team left. The Brumbies took on the Auckland Blues at Eden Park, which is a pretty hard place to travel for any visiting team. New Zealand tend to do well both at the All Blacks and also with their Super Rugby teams. And unfortunately for the Brumbies, they went down 20 points to 19.
Yeah, I was really hoping the Brumbies would step up to the Blues, which they did evidently in the score 2019. But unfortunately came away, some team has to lose, and that was, I'm backing the Blues to go all the way though.
Yeah, I think the Blues are looking pretty strong. The Brumbies started really well. Simone, he scored a try where he just burst straight through the middle of the defence, like steamrolled someone and ran 40 metres, stepped the fullback and scored a pretty good individual try. So it was a really good start for the Brumbies. Unfortunately, they couldn't peg back the deficit towards the end of the game, and the Blues held on. Now, the other semi-final played was the Crusaders versus the Chiefs. The Crusaders booking their way through to the final, 20 points to 7, they beat the Chiefs. Now, this is the Crusaders' 16th Super Rugby title that they're chasing, or appearance. So it's pretty impressive for them to be in so many finals. One thing I love about any time they win, their coach, Scott Robertson, he breakdances at the end of a win. So, they continue to be a really strong performer in the Super Rugby comp.
Yeah, if the Crusaders could let us know what they're feeding the boys to, appear in so many finals, let me know, because I'd like to appear in a few like that. So Super Rugby royalty, that team. Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, look, it's everyone expected it to be two New Zealand teams in the final of Super Rugby Pacific, but well done to the Brumbies for getting as far as they did. The Waratahs had a much improved season as well, but probably the two best teams, the Blues and the Crusaders. Look forward to seeing how that one goes this Saturday at Eden Park. And in other rugby news over in New Zealand, we know the Pacific Four series is going on where the Wallaroos have taken on the Black Ferns on the weekend. They took on the USA. Unfortunately, they couldn't turn it around with a win. They lost 16-14, so a tough couple of games for the Wallaroos.
Yeah, the score was quite close, 14-16 going USA's way. So hopefully the third time round coming, Wallaroos do get that win, don't you think?
I think they will. And I think it's what was missing in those first two games was one of our favourites, Sarah Nangama.
Yeah, I agree. Name Sarah this week, please.
My ears are burning. And I'm back on the show. Kennedy, Dean, how are you both?
Says, what's doing?
Oh, you know, it's a day off here in Whangarei, so I just thought I'd check in and see how you two are holding up in the studio and making sure that Kennedy is just holding up her end of the bargain, and I know she's been absolutely killing it on air with you, Dean.
She's getting very comfortable in the chair, I've got to say.
I'm coming for you.
I don't think I'm going to have a job when I come back home.
Now, how's camp, says? Are you enjoying it, though?
Yeah, camp is really, really good. It's been intense. I mean, I think you both can agree when you're on the road for a fair bit, you start to get a little bit homesick, and missing out on selections over the past 2 weeks hasn't been ideal, but the team is yet to be announced this week against Canada, and I'm hoping for a look-in, but hey, like, it's a privilege to be here, and this year is such a long year, and I'm just making the most of every moment. I tell you one thing, like, I feel so fit and I feel so elite, and it's such an elusive idea of being like, oh, this could be my life if I was a full-time professional. So I'm just soaking it up before I come back and the hustle and bustle gets back to me.
So you said you're fit. You've been doing a lot of extra concessions. You, as you said, unfortunately missed out on the first two games. So does that mean a lot of extras around training?
Yes, it absolutely does. I mean, the thing is, right, when you come into camp, you train, and the reward is to be able to play and to don the jersey. But in my situation, it's been you train, and then you train some more. So it's been tricky, but, you know, I really back the coaches and the 23 that they've chosen, each week. And I've just had my head down, and hopefully if I do get the opportunity, I'll be ready and raring to go.
You've got such an amazing attitude, Sarah, honestly. I really respect that about you. And I think more players should be like that, you know, more open-minded to, you know, just chipping away. If you don't get selected, you go back, you work harder, and you keep chipping away till you get selected. So I love that about you.
Thank you, my sister. I mean, it's crazy, right, because our listeners wouldn't be aware, but Kennedy and I, we started our Australia/Wallaroos dreams together. 2019, we went to Fiji, played the Oceania tournament for Australia A. And, I mean, your journey has been so inspiring to date. You've made a mark in NRLW, and I'm still here grinding away. But that's the thing about your dreams. You don't give them up too easy if it's something that you really, really want.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about that Fiji trip. That was crazy. That was
cassava for breakfast,
lunch, and dinner. But, like, trust the process. Keep grinding away because, you know, it could take 2 years. It could take 20 years to get there, but keep doing you, sis. I'm very proud of you.
Thanks, girl.
Now, Says, you mentioned before you left that you'd never been to New Zealand. How's the experience been of just traveling over there?
It's been really cool. Hey, like, I've really, really enjoyed it. I didn't know how I would take to New Zealand just because it was unfamiliar to me. But we've been lucky to be able to travel to three places. So when we first got in, we arrived in Auckland. And yeah, we went to Tauranga, which was really cool. A little bit of a coastal town. Very cold. That's something about New Zealand. It's very cold. But cool to experience that. And then we came back into Auckland, but we're staying in South Auckland, so Papakura. And we were like in some real hostile accommodation, but hashtag grateful always. And then straight after that, we were kind of really keen to get out of there because it just wasn't much happening around us, particularly down there in the south. And so our final stop is in Whangarei. We ended up here earlier in the week, and it's so much more beautiful. We're by the water. We've been walking distance to coffee shops, and people are kind. Everything about it is great, and the food is on. I love the food. Like, I haven't had any, like, cultured food or anything like that, but just the quality of the food in each of our accommodation has been quite outstanding compared to what I've experienced in Australia. So she could come back with 2 kilos, but she ain't hating it.
No, that sounds awesome, Sarah. Andy, have you tried any of the snacks in back home? They're always the go-to. What's your favourite so far?
Look, I had to have, people always talk about the meat pies. and the ice cream. So I've definitely been going to bakeries and getting some meat pies, and they've been so great. And I went and bought some Hokey Pokey ice cream the other day, and it was on. Like, I'm loving it. But today we have a day off, so I want to indulge a little bit more. I've earned the right to indulge today, that's for sure.
Yes, you deserve it, 100%.
And now, what about your results? We mentioned that it's been an unlucky tournament so far, but you did push the Black Ferns in the first game all the way for 60 minutes, and it was a fairly tight match. How's the feeling been amongst the group around your performances?
There's so much belief, and I think being able to play against sides like the Black Ferns and to come so close, like being in the lead at halftime, it placed so much belief because, dare I say, the Wallaroos have never been in that position against such a formidable side. And then to miss out that week, we thought we'd have a real solid opportunity against the USA. And to be fair, we really did. We came close and we each drew closer. To lose out by 2 points was just so devastating for us as a group because, we really fought our way back. And so now we have an opportunity against Canada to get a W. So far from this year, we've played 4 games and we've only won 1 from 4. So we are eager to improve on that result against this week. And, if you can take them to a final 80 aside like the US and only miss that by 2 points, like we should be in good stead to compete really, really well against Canada. We know that they're going to be such a different side. They're a bigger bodies, they're very physical. But that being said, we're ready for the challenge.
That's good. I love to hear that. The perspective is for the end of the year. Obviously, you've got the World Cup coming up, so every match you improve is a step towards that, and no doubt that's what you're seeking to do this week against Canada. Now, they played the Black Ferns. Black Ferns smashed them, 28-0. 2 tries scored by Ruby Tui. Nelly wants to know if Ruby Tui is your friend yet, because she's a favourite of us.
You know what? So we're actually staying at accommodation, the same accommodation as the Black Ferns, and I have not seen Ruby.
I haven't seen Ruby,
but I want to find her. I want to find her, and I also want to meet their head coach.
Yeah, the head coach, of course. There's some pretty good rugby pedigree there, so you could pick the brains. Well, Sarah, we don't want to take up too much of your time because we know you're in camp and you've got to get back to it's a day off for you, so you get back to relaxing. I'm sure you've got many other media commitments that you've got to get into, but we appreciate you dropping by. It's been awesome to catch up.
No, it's always a pleasure, Kennedy and Dean and Nelly, missing you guys, but can't wait to come back home next week and squeeze the hell out of you all.
Best of luck with selection, Sarah. I hope this week the coaches can see what you offer as a player on and off the field. So best of luck for selection and good luck against Canada this weekend.
Thank you, my sister. Talk to you soon, guys.
Good luck, Sarah.
Bye.
Thanks.
Oh, it was so good catching up with Sarah. I know she'll be back next week. And good luck to the Wallaroos taking on Canada this week.
Yes, definitely. Good luck, Sarah. Good luck, Wallaroos. Now, rugby league on the weekend, the PNG Hunters, who we haven't spoken a lot about for a little while, but they had a win against the South Logan Magpies 26-22 in the Q Cup. It was a really strong performance. I think 2 tries to their front rower, Dilbert Isaac. Love seeing front rowers cross the stripe, and he grabbed 2. Solo one out there, winger. He is a flyer. He scored 1 as well. Really good performance from the Hunters and positive as they head towards the back end of the year.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity up for grabs in the Queensland Cup and the New South Wales Cup comp. So I love seeing the, Pacific talent pushing for those NRL contracts to come.
Yeah, well said. NRL continued in round 14 on the weekend. The Cowboys, who have been the surprise packet for the season, they're at home to the St. George Illawarra Dragons, and they won 31-12. So another dominant performance from them. Tries to Peter Hiku, Murray Taulagi, and Connolly Lemuelu, who, I'm sorry to say, was the West Tigers at one point, but he came on for Helam Luki, who got injured, and he scored a really nice try, and this is how it went.
And the hit up and the tap, it's Jordan McLean. Stands in the tackle, 23 out from the St. George Illawarra line. Play to Robson, comes to the right. Townsend away, Hess to Lemuelu. He's away from Ben Hunt, steps in field, pass rams in, he scores. Connolly Lemuelu. What a performance by him off the bench.
Yeah, there's a lot of Pacific talent coming through that Cowboys set. I love my Parasite, but I see Cowboys going all the way.
Yeah, I agree. They've had a really good season so far. I played with their coach, Todd Payton, and he's a...
Old boy.
He's an old boy, yeah. Again. So I'm hoping they do pretty well. Now, the Roosters took on the Storm, which was, two of the heavyweights of the competition. That was at the SCG. The Storm bouncing back. They've had a fairly bumpy last couple of months, or last month, I'd say, and they won 26-18.
And how about the try by Felice Kafusi?
Comes to the right to Munster. Links up with Hughes. Holds it up on the inside. Kafusi. Kafusi pass 1-2 over the 20. Fullback to beat. He'll beat Tedesco and score. Beat him with speed. Tedesco got to him, but Kafusi was on the goal line. So whereas Tupanua could have scored at the other end, what, half a second ago, Melbourne go down to the northern end and score through Kafusi.
Not often that James Tedesco gets beat at fullback, but by a back row as well. So Kafusi was pretty good in the open space and scored a try there. And it was a strong performance, as I said, a bounce back from the Storm. So they'll be very happy with that. Now, the Sharks took on the Warriors up at Redcliffe, and the Warriors have had a really tough year. They lost their coach last week. It was always going to be an uphill one.
I felt bad for the Warriors, but they did look promising in the first 20 minutes. They did look strong. They were the first points on the board, I think, and it was just kind of try for try. But Molotalo and Katoa was a bit of a try race there, so it was a bit funny. But
yeah, I think they're both now 10 each or 10 or 11 tries apiece for the season. So they're scoring at a rate of knots, and it's great to see when one scores, the other scores. Katoa got the better of him on the weekend of Molotalo. He scored 3 tries. But Ronaldo scored a really tight one in the corner, went to a video ref. His leg was almost over the sideline. It was ruled a try. Love watching those two guys go.
Yeah, so exciting. Look how many names are from Pacific descent. So love, keep doing you boys. Love it.
Yes, definitely. Now, the last match of the round was the Bulldogs versus the Eels. Sorry to bring up this one, Kennedy, but I have to say for the Bulldogs, 34 points to 4. It was their best performance of probably the last 4 seasons. I'm going to say 5 seasons for the Bulldogs. And what an impressive performance. Disappointing for the Eels.
Yeah, very disappointing. I don't think we prepared well going into this game. You know, with the boys coming back from Origin, I was hoping to, and you know, bye week, a bit of a rest. Maybe sometimes that doesn't work in your favour, or where it could work in your favour. So I don't know, but I really hope the boys show the jersey some respect next round.
Yeah, they'll bounce back for sure. Now, don't forget you can hear every game live on Radio Australia, including the upcoming Origin games and Pacific Tests.
Talanoa time on Can You Be More Pacific?
Joining us on Talanoa time, we've got a former NRL player who's actually my older cousin, Anthony Cherrington. How are you, cuz?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. So, Anthony, what clubs were you a part of when you're in your playing days?
So I started my junior career at Coogee Wombat, which was in the South competition. And then I moved over to Paddington Tigers. So I spent most of my time there. And obviously, Paddington Tigers, I laced up with the Roosters. And that's where I sort of started my journey or career towards the life of an NRL player.
Now, Anthony, you finished up playing a couple of years ago. How is post-rugby league treating you?
I'll be honest, bro. It's been hard. You'd know. But I think, like, I had a conversation with a good mate of mine, Troy Savage, the other day. We were on a podcast, and he's like, a question that we normally get is, you know, how do you sort of change that identity that you have? Because we get told what to do every morning. You know, they tell us, give us a schedule at the start of our week. And, you know, we're doing that for so many years, 12 years. And now that I've found something cooler than footy, I really, really love what I'm doing, bro. And that's the honest truth. So for any of those young guys who are dealing with anything to do with identity crisis or wanting to experience what I'm feeling right now, you know, the love of doing something else, there are answers out there, and it just takes a little bit of time to find that out. And I'm glad that I found my calling, so to speak.
Yeah, so if you didn't know, Anthony's kind of like a mentor for me and Sarah, which is, I'm really lucky to have a person like him in my space. So could you go into detail what you're actually doing, in the space after footy?
Okay, I started off at a gym out of Campbelltown. Obviously, I train a lot of people, you know, a lot of people come through the doors, and then I sort of started reaching out with younger athletes like Kennedy and Sarah. And they were coming out once a week, and we were just doing training sessions, really. And then I just found my zone when it comes to training the athletes or the rugby league footy players. And then I started realizing that they're all dealing with the same things that I did, right? You know, injuries, how to cope with the mental side of it. And then that's how I sort of ventured into an online business of my knee games, because I did 3 ACLs right during my career from 2010 to 2012. And the stuff that I dealt with off the field is like the art for me. So that's the love. And now it's like combining that with training. So that's all I do online. A lot of the guys come to me at first to deal with their knees. And then after that, I get to sort of dive into the mental side of things. And I'm nowhere near a psychologist or a therapist, and I tell them that. But at the same time, it's good just to have a talk to someone who's been there and done that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I think yourself having gone through some challenges and being able to overcome that, but also what you mentioned earlier around your identity and finding purpose beyond, you know, a lot of people that play elite level sports will become really attached to that identity of being an athlete or being that athlete. And then the challenge becomes, as you said, post that, what's the joy? Where do you find it? How do you get your purpose? And by the sounds of it, you've got that. So walking along that path is valuable to share with anyone. So I get what you're saying in terms of, you don't have to be a counselor or a therapist to understand that. It's lived experience. And it sounds like you're going through that now.
Yeah, like, and I really enjoy it, bro. That's why, I'm very big on socials these days, because everything's done online. Everyone's on their screens. And that's why the voice that I have and the language that I speak actually reaches out to those crew, you know, because I know how to speak to them. You know, a lot of the problem is during the game or when I was young, people would say things to me, like all these things about finances, all these things about how to look after home life and all that sort of stuff. I couldn't listen to it, bro, because none of it was the language that, you know, reached out to me. But now I'm gifted with that. And that's where the passion and the love for what I'm doing comes out. And that's ultimately changed my identity and who I am right now. And I really love it, bro. I really love it.
Nah, I really respect the game that you've tuned into, because, you know, being one of your athletes that you look after, I'm really grateful, you know, with dealing with my injuries. This is my third knee surgery at the moment. So I'm really grateful for you, because I just want to know, what's your relationship like with footy now?
I tried, bro, Kennedy, cuz, more like it. I tried to get involved as much as I could with Harold Matthews at St. George, and I just found that it wasn't me. Like, I just felt like I was doing too much. You know, like, you know, don't get me wrong, I want to give back to the game as much as I can, but the way that I'm doing it now is the only way that I know that it's actually working. You know, working with the players individually, doing the online program for knees that I have, is the best way for me to reach out to those, not just rugby league too, just any sport really. As a general, but that's how I found the, I wouldn't call it a market, but my tribe, so to speak. And if anything, the age groups that I get to work on, it's not just under 16s, Harold Matthews, or, you know, NRL players, or it's just everyone as abroad, and they get to see me, who I am, and then I get to deliver the message in my own terms, if that makes sense too.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. We're joined by Anthony Cherrington, former Rabbitoh and Rooster, and now currently helping out young athletes and former athletes alike. Now, Anthony, I just wanted to touch on, we go out to the islands. We're at a number of places in the Pacific. We like to showcase Pacifica and Māori athletes. And I guess you want to talk about your own culture and what it means to you. Talk us through your own heritage.
Okay. So I was brought up or born and bred in Sydney. I'll be honest with you, Dean, like I was very disjointed, or, you know, I had no real understanding of my culture, which is Māori, until I went into footy. I got made the Māori side, and I had the opportunity to play in all those Māori tournaments that they have out at St. Mary's. And that was the first time that I ever performed the haka, or the first time I ever got to be around our culture and understand how big it is in our game. The Pacifica and Māori culture is huge. Even the Indigenous is huge in our game. And through football, I got to have a sense of being back home. And I'll always be grateful for that too. So, yeah, it plays a big part in our sport. And if anyone watches the sport, you can see that there's, you know, 75% of the players are of our background. So it's a good thing for the game, and it's good for me to actually reach out and give back to the game through that as well.
It's a common story that we hear from a lot of guests, is that through sport, you do have that opportunity to connect with your culture and understand more about yourself, and that forms, you know, more of a part of your identity. So I really love where you've had that opportunity yourself to do that.
It's awesome, bro. I love it, man. Like, and I love my culture so much, man. You know, at the age of 21 was the first time I played Maoris. And then from that, I got my time awkward on. And then from that, I just started diving further and further. And I'm going to spend the next 2 to 3 years learning my language, bro, because that's the next part of my journey. Because I want to be able to go home to dungies, to funerals, to see my family and be able to understand and listen and learn, you know, because there's a huge part of me that's still missing that side of my game. Even though I can speak English very well, I still want to know my cultural language as well.
Yeah, I definitely relate to that, finding your identity through football, cuz. Did you have any advice for any young athletes coming up?
Any advice? What would I tell my younger self? There's a couple of things, but I think the main thing would be to realise that footy isn't everything. You know, I think a lot of us dive head first in there. And don't get me wrong, a plan A is always warranted when you're trying to be an NRL player. But at the same time, have something in your back pocket. Know that there's a life after it. You've got to realise that there's, you know, the average NRL player for a male is 26 games. You know, I played 26 games over 12 years of being a professional athlete. So that would be my main point. And then at the same time, have fun. You know, go and do things that you want to do away from the sport. Go away from rugby league and enjoy life, because, like I said to you before, there's more to life than just footy.
Thank you, Kaz. That's some very inspirational advice. All and good. Definitely something that I've taken on personally.
Good.
We'd just like to end on a light note with a little segment we call Tip-Ons. So it's basically just 60 seconds of rapid-fire questions. Are you ready?
Yep. Yep, I'm ready to rumble.
Okay. What have you been reading, watching, or listening lately?
I don't watch TV. I've been reading The Alchemist.
Oh, nice. Who's your most annoying teammate in your playing career?
My paint, Adam Reynolds.
Who is your sporting hero?
Sporting hero? Muhammad Ali. I just love everything about him.
Who was your favourite movie as a kid?
Well, I remember The Titans. Who doesn't like that movie?
Nah, it's the go-to movie.
It is.
Favourite place you've travelled to?
Palawan, Philippines.
Oh, nice. Do you have a hidden talent?
No hidden. I wouldn't say a hidden talent. I can pull my tooth out because I lost my tooth playing for my footy career. It's not a talent, but it's like pretty cool, right? Everyone's going to be like, "What are you doing, mate?"
Conditioning or weights?
Oh, weights all day. So can I break that down? Weights fast is conditioning.
Nice. Worst job you've ever had?
Oh, you can't say that. Oh, landscaping. Oh, what do you call it? Landscaping maintenance, mowing lawns and whippersnipping the grass. I hated it.
Yeah, no, it's sometimes therapy. I love getting out in the in my backyard.
It is fun, right? Yeah, exactly.
But then, like, if you have to do it every day, it could probably get pretty tough.
Not so enjoyable.
Yeah.
No, don't get me wrong, bro. Like, they used to get me because I was new and straight from footy. I couldn't do too much. I didn't know how to whip a slip grass or cut lawns. So they got me to do the shit jobs, and that job would be picking up rubbish, bro. Oh, my goodness. Nothing more humbling in the world, bro. Nothing more humbling.
And that's all respect to all the maintenance people out there, because
that is, bro. Hard work. It is. It's respect. It is hard work, man.
100%.
Well, Anthony, thanks very much for joining us on Can You Be More Pacific? It's been great to have your insights. Good luck with all the work you're doing now with younger athletes, with former athletes. It's good to see that you're giving back to people and helping them improve themselves physically, mentally, all things.
Thanks very much, bro. I appreciate you guys for having me on, and you guys have a lovely day.
You can ask that. Your chance to ask what it's really like to be an elite athlete on Can You Be More Pacific?
It's time for You Can Ask That, our favourite segment. And Kennedy, we've got a good one this week. It comes from Ian on the Gold Coast. The question is, should the NRLW introduce a draft?
Yeah, look, the comp is still fresh and expanding. There's a lot that we can play around with. I'm not familiar with how the draft would work. I've only seen a few movies with the NBA and the NFL. So I don't know. I really don't want the NRLW comp just to be a guinea pig experiment for the NRL. Look, I'm just a player that plays the game. I'm not sure. What are your thoughts, Dean?
I used to be a player that played the game, but look, I'm the same as you. I'm not that familiar with how draft systems work. I do know, like, in say, the NFL that you mentioned, the team that finishes at the lower end of the table gets the first pick for the following season. So that's kind of how it works in AFL as well. It's the lower finishing teams and working your way backwards, say that's a draft order for the following season. So if you get a first pick, it's supposed to help equalise the talent in the competition, which is, we have a salary cap that's meant to do that at the moment. Whether or not you agree that the talent is equal across the competition, I'd say at the moment it's not in terms of the results that we're seeing from some teams. But I agree that you probably don't want the NRLW treated as a guinea pig for something like a draft. You were part of last year where they requested that players go to different teams to be a marquee player. I'm not too sure about how the system fully worked, but moving players around to try and equalise the talent for new teams that came into the competition. Anything where it does that is great, but then you've got players that probably don't want to move away from home for whatever reason, family, work commitments at the moment, because not everyone's full-time professional in the NRLW. So there's a lot to consider. And yeah, like you said, do you really want to make NRLW a guinea pig for that?
Yeah, like, we're still fighting for that respect on our game, still fighting for proper wages, still fighting for proper respect that the men's would get, yet our females don't. So it could be on the cards. Like I said, I'm not educated in that space with the NRLW draft, but exciting news, there is more teams coming in with the expansion, which we'll talk about in depth later, but four new teams are going to be added to the 2023 comp, so very exciting. And, you know, if the idea is there and it's only going to better our game, then I'm all for it.
Yes, well, I guess if we've got any listeners that want to shoot us their thoughts on a draft, hit us up in our DMs. On Instagram, I'm at Dean Hollitow, and Kennedy, what's your Instagram?
My ad is just my name, at Kennedy Charrington. Yeah, so ask away.
You can also send some through to Sarah at Sarah Nangama on Instagram, and she'll be back with us next week to answer any further questions.
Can you be more Pacific? On ABC Radio Australia.
Oh my God. And you're with Kennedy and Dean, talking all things sport across the Pacific.
Don't go anywhere. We've still got our favourite socials and we tackle the tough headlines in the ruck.
Let's go.
Time for a change of pace as we head over to Papua New Guinea and hear from our favourite man on the ground, Peter Pasol.
Today I have with me a special guest. His name is Mr. Killer Dick. He is the chef de mission for Team PNG to the Mini Pacific Games in Saipan, Northern Marianas. Welcome to the show, KD.
Thank you very much for this opportunity, Peter, and I'm grateful that we are making an interview on this particular program. It's a worthwhile opportunity for us to express our appreciation and gratitude towards this program. More so, we are highlighting our preparations for Team PNG. We will be taking part in the Mini Pacific Games in Saipan, Northern Marianas.
All right, and just give us a quick little profile of yourself, your background in sports as an administrator, as a player, and what you've done and how you got into this role.
Yes, basically, it's important for us to look at different angles of our involvement in sports in this country. Actually, I started my sporting career in 1978 when I was playing volleyball in Australian rules and cricket. But volleyball decided to, have a lot of interest in this sport as a player and growing up and representing the country in some of those international competitions like the Pacific Games in 1983. And then also taking up coaching roles as well, coaching the Port Moresby teams. I started a local club here in Port Moresby as well. And since then, I've moved, in different positions, and now I'm working for the National Capital District Commission. It's the city authority of this city, Port Moresby. And over time, I've taken the Team NCD for the Afro Games and also for the PNG Games over time as a general manager and chief of mission as well. So that gives me a lot of experience and knowledge in terms of how to manage sports and manage a team. So the opportunity came when I became a member of the PNG Olympic Committee Board. For the past 3 years, I've been a member of the board, and I was given the nod to beat the Chief Timmins to take Team PNG for the Mini Pacific Games. So I think over 42 years of sporting experience over this period of time.
All right, let's get straight into the team for the Mini Games in the Northern Marianas. Just give us a quick rundown on how many athletes you have, how many officials you have, how many sports there are, and how long these games are going to go for.
So Team PNG is for the Mini Games. Yes, we're going to take part in five sports. It's VAR is one of those big sports in our country, and that's a big contingent for the VAR sport. Athletics is the other sport that we see a lot of interest in this sport. I profile athletes in the sport of athletics. Toya Wissler is one of our big icons in this sport. We also have weightlifting and big names like Dika Towa and Moria Ida, some of our lead athletes. As we all know that Dika is a seasoned athlete both in the Commonwealth and as well as the Pacific Games, including Tor Wiesel. We also have got the sisters, Abigail sisters. Apisa sisters, Abigail and Violet. So they'll be representing Team PNG in the sport of tennis. And of course, we have golf. Golf is a small team, but we have some young potential athletes there. So all in all, it's good. We have over 126 members of the team, about 96 athletes, and about 20 team management going for the Mini Pacific Games.
Just quickly, the Mini Games are from what dates?
So the Mini Games will commence on the 17th and will end on the 25th. So we are traveling early by charter. Thankful enough that the PNG Olympic Committee has been able to work over time to ensure that we go by charter. So Enugin is taking the team over. So it's a big plus, I guess, for the athletes and the officials. That should also lift the morale of our team members, because organizing a charter is a big plus. So Enugin is our carrier for us to take us over to the games on the 12th. So we'll be 3 or 4 days earlier than the expected time of the commencement. One good thing is that trying to get our athletes to settle very well in terms of the environment in the Saipan. So that's good opportunity and a good plus for us to ensure that happens.
All right, and let's go on to the performances and what you expect from each sport. Just tell us a little bit about the expectation and what it'll lead on to. What's the other big tournaments coming up after this one?
The Mini Games is a platform for the Commonwealth Games coming up in July and also the Pacific Games next year. So we've got, like I said, some high-profile athletes like Dika Towa and Moria Baru. Also some youngsters like Thelma Towa and Schofield Govea, Ida Uvagi. And also we've got those the three sisters who are very very good in their tennis play, Violet, Patricia, Abigail Abisai. Those three sisters are great athletes in terms of tennis. They've done extremely very well in the sport of tennis, so they'll be again showcasing their potential and their talent. And of course we've got the VAR is one of the sports that's really come to surface in terms of gold medal opportunities. We won gold in some of the international features. So this sport is also cemented its authority here in Papua New Guinea, particularly in the central province and the villages here in NCD. So we expecting gold medals to come our way in terms of performance by some of other sports that I've mentioned. So all in all, I think the athletes have performed in terms of training over the couple of years, a couple of months, so we're looking forward for their performance. Having said that, we've got big events. Like I said, the Commonwealth Games is in July, so from here, they will move over to the Commonwealth Games. And from the Commonwealth Games, we've got the preparations for the Pacific Games next year.
Looking forward after that, is there any other major event like the Olympics and stuff like that that you might be hoping to play a part in it at some point?
I am looking forward to this opportunity. It's a great opportunity for me as an administrator, having played the sport, and this will be the stepping stone. If I perform very well in this job, then I would want to take up the national team, the PNG team, to greater heights. And if Olympic Games come my way, I would want to put my hands up.
Katie, it's been a pleasure getting your thoughts on the Team PNG to Northern Marianas for the Mini Pacific Games. And we wish you and the team all the best.
Thank you, PP. I'm looking forward for the athletes to, you know, rise up to the occasion, and I'm grateful to be part of this team.
And it's back to Dean and Kennedy in the studio.
Thanks, Peter. I can't wait to tune into the Pacific Games that kicks off tomorrow.
Can you be more Pacific? Keeping it social.
So now we're talking my favourite part of the show, keeping it social. This week has been very busy for me, but I do know my fellow host, social game has gotten a lot better, don't you think?
Well, I found something good. I don't know if my own game's gotten better. I did put a story up last week. I can't remember, it was from that Pacific Sports show. That's why I put it up. I reposted someone else's story.
Yeah, I actually seen that. I was like, go you. He knows how to use the repost button.
Yeah. But anyway, the post that I found this week comes from the Cowboys, the North Queensland Cowboys Instagram page. And it was from last weekend, their match against the Dragons. Jason Dumalolo, he had some fans that made about 3,000 kilometre journey from Tonga to North Queensland to watch him play. It was a Tongan army and 45 of them there. It was pretty cool. They sang to him after the game. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I love the Tongan culture, and I'm really looking forward to Jason putting on that red and white jersey in the Pacific Test next week.
Yeah, next weekend. Yeah, 25th over at Mount Smart Stadium. It's going to be huge. I think the last time that the Kiwis played against Tonga was a couple of years ago now. But
2019, I think.
The crowd, every time they get together, especially in New Zealand, is enormous, and it's usually fairly red. So looking forward to seeing that. What about your socials this week, Kennedy? What have you come up with?
Look, I love social media. I'm always in the loop. You can call me Daily Telegraph. But yesterday was a big step forward for, you know, I'm a bit biased, NRLW player. Yesterday there was an announcement by the NRL that they have announced four new teams for the 2023 season. So that's Canberra Raiders, North Queensland Cowgirls. Who else we got? Cronulla Sharks and West Tigers. So there's a lot going on for us, but a lot of really good movements. So I don't really have a particular post, but it was massive for me. And this is something that I've been pushing as one of the pioneers in the game, just pushing for is growth, development, and equal pay. Nah, kidding.
No, you're not. No, but
just something I'm so passionate about, and I can't wait to see where this takes us to the next level, you know, with potentially going full-time next year. And apparently there is a deadline for all NRL clubs to have an NRL team by 2024. So, man, we're going to see, you know, the likes of Penrith Panthers, seeing what they're going to pump out, Manly Sea Eagles, just a lot. Hopefully a Redcliffe side as well. So thoughts?
Yeah, it's awesome. I think yesterday I've seen lots of social media flooded with NRLW news about the expansion. And obviously I'm a former West Tiger, so good to see the Tigers represented. I know the last few years their Harvey Norman Cup team, they've added some decent players to that team, even though Kennedy, yeah, you're giving me the sign, nah, Tigers are rubbish. But
go, Para.
But yeah, it's great to see teams, clubs rewarded for putting together some good proposals and giving themselves a chance.
Cronulla. Yeah, one thing I've noticed is the narrative's changed. So all the comments and everyone getting around the sharing and reposting the stories is positive. You know, rewind 6 months, it was just people slamming us. We don't know how to play. We don't deserve to play. Women shouldn't play footy. So I think that was one positive I seen. I was like, man, we're finally taking that step forward and it's only going to get better.
I think, you know, this season, I know there was a lot of new fans to the game this season. I've been lucky enough with ABC to cover and watch the game since it started as the NRLW. But this year, I thought the standard of the footy went up like hugely this year, and there was a lot of new fans. And you're right, the positivity around it is really good. I think everyone knows that the competition, I think it's the best women's competition in Australia out of all forms. I've been biased and said that before. Nellie might disagree because she's an AFLW person, but yeah, that's my thoughts.
But it is credit to the AFLW being the pioneers of women's sport in Australia, because without them, NRL has to go, okay, we got to go too. So I love that by the AFLW.
In the Ruck, tackling the tough headlines in sport on Can You Be More Pacific?
Time for some tough headlines. We're in the Ruck, and starting with the NRL, Luciano Leilua has got an early release from the Tigers and will be heading up to the Cowboys, but he may not get there because there's a bit of salary cap drama.
Yeah, with the salary cap dramas. Interesting, like, wouldn't you think that before signing him? I don't know. Those are just my thoughts. But, you know, potentially might have a, like I said, Cowboys to go all the way, so he might even just end up with a premiership ring on his finger.
Yeah, it's not a bad move if you want to have a bit more success, because the Tigers are travelling pretty rough at the moment. The Cowboys have had a great season. I think they're like 7 or 8 from their last 9. And, yeah, it'd just be wait to see what happens with their salary cap. No doubt. Yeah, you would have looked at that, like you said, before you actually got the release to go up there. So I'm assuming it'll be okay, but interesting to see him go early. Now, in other signing news, is a re-signing with Justin Oldham at the Storm, who has been one of the most consistent players over the last 3 or 4 years.
He's one of my favourite centres. You know, he won Dally M Centre of the Year last year, made the Team of the Year. So really exciting talent. And I only think he's still one of the underrated players in my eyes. Like, I don't think he gets the respect he deserves, and I think being at Storm in that system there is so important for his development.
It is really important, and I can't wait to see him actually run out for the Kumuls in a couple of weeks in the international tests, and then the World Cup later in the year. He is, I'm guessing he's a bit of a national hero back in Papua New Guinea now, and I love watching him play like yourself, so we wish him all the best. Now, speaking of the Pacific Test coming up, there's also going to be a match in New Zealand. The Tongan team are taking on the Kiwi squad, so Matamata Tonga. How do you think they'll go over in New Zealand?
To be honest, I think I see the Red Army taking the dub here. Love the Kiwis. Love the squad that's got named, but I feel like you're probably a bit biased at the Kiwi side since you've played for them.
Yeah, I am a bit biased to the Kiwis. I love watching Tonga play, but I agree. I think the halves for the Kiwis, looking at the teams that have been picked, the halves are pretty awesome. Jerome Hughes.
Linking up with Dylan Brown. Some exciting young talent there. Unfortunate with our uncle Sean Johnson not making the team.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. They've got experience in Kieran Foran, who's in the squad. So there's a bit of wisdom and smarts there.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing Kola starting at starting fullback at the back, and I don't think he's been used at Manly to his full potential, so I'm really keen to see him at number one jersey.
Yeah, he's been playing like centres, bit of wing, bit of fullback. He's sort of all over the place, a bit of a fill-in guy, but he's got so much speed, right? And I think you've seen him play for Tonga at fullback will be pretty cool.
And interesting enough, the Tongan squad have actually named Kotoni Staggs and Daniel Tupou in their team to take on the Kiwis next week. So a bit of State of Origin drama, who comes in where. So what are your thoughts? Who will come from the State of Origin side?
Oh, I think maybe even Daniel Tupou has already said to Brad Fittler that he's going to play Origin. So, both being picked in the squad and decisions to be made, I guess, on Sunday when the teams get finalised. But it'd be really cool for Tonga if they were to elect them over Origin. That'd be a pretty big statement. I know it's happened in the past. Andrew Fifita did it a couple of years ago. I guess we'll wait and see. I think they're all out for the Blues. I think Fittler would have picked them with that conversation already had, that they would choose to play for the Blues if they were picked in both. So what are your thoughts?
No, I agree. I think there's a lot of opportunity open for our Pacific that doesn't come often. So I think I do see them taking the opportunity to pull on their respected jerseys. Like I said, the Tongan squad, if it's a full-strength team, and the Kiwi squad full-strength team, it's going to be a really exciting day for our people. And next week is going to be massive because all these teams haven't played since 2019 and pre-COVID. So can't wait.
ABC Radio Australia. Your home of Sarah and Dean.
Unfortunately, it's the end of the show, Kennedy. I've had a blast again today.
Oh, it's time to go. Thanks for having me, guys. I love being on the show. I love just talking.
It's been a pleasure. Look, if you missed the show or you just want to listen to the magic again, it'll be replayed on Friday, 2 p.m. PNG time, or you can find all our episodes on the Radio Australia website or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
If you want more sport, you can check out That Pacific Sports Show on Wednesday night or catch up on ABC Australia iView.
What's all here?
Ka kite anō.
Can You Be More Pacific? An ABC sport production for ABC Radio Australia.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.